You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. We can't put your hand up because you crushed it this morning in a cab, in an Uber.
Put my finger up.
Only Smalls comes in with bloody finger. She dripping walks in, she's dripping blood off of her finger from slamming it in a cab
door
this morning.
She's playing hurt this morning.
Playing through it.
We give her credit for all of the toughness.
Thank you for acknowledging that I'm a gamer.
Yeah, exactly. You see how he tries to bring the mood down. Coming back from break, we got a bopper on. You're feeling the vibe, and then he's going to bring up what you did this morning.
Giovante's playing my song. Exactly. I'm feeling good. Evan brings up my injury.
Yeah, and
I mean,
shout out to Miley.
You're supposed to keep the energy up, man. Don't bring us down.
I am a gamer, though. You know,
playing through a bloody finger.
I will say though, exactly. It's hard to scroll on my computer with the trackpad because of the Band-Aid. It's been a challenge this morning. You know what I'm saying?
I'm like, what finger do I use on? Yeah, you're right.
I use my pointer finger, so it's been a challenge trying to scroll my notes today.
I use the middle finger.
That's why last segment I was like, I think it was the second season because I can't scroll to my notes because I have a Band-Aid.
She has a scrolling injury somehow. All right, Smalls out 2 to 3 weeks. Why? Scrolling injury. All right, so last night, Russell Wilson announces, and Adam Schefter had it first, of course, that he is signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers on a minimum deal, 1 year, $1.2 million. I am abnormally happy about this. As somebody that is a Russell Wilson fan and still believes in this guy, I just like the fact that all of the conversation when he was finishing up his season with Denver, and he had that little tiff with Sean Payton about whether or not he was going to get benched and the money, et cetera, et cetera. And people went to the place of, that's it. He's probably out of the league. He's probably sitting on the set with us next year. Well, not only is he in the league, he got multiple offers seemingly, and visits at least, prior to the league year even beginning, prior to free agency and legal tampering today at noon Eastern time. And he is already going to have the leg up, we think, to be the Steelers starter. Not another team that stinks, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who when Mike Tomlin is a head coach, who start the season at 9-8. So by default, even if he's just fine, he has a winning record. And if he could be above average, they're a 10 or 11 win team. Based on all the track record with Mike Tomlin, they're starting the season 9-8. And so for all the people who said he's not going to have an opportunity, Mike Tomlin is giving him an opportunity, Smalls.
Yes, and it's a huge opportunity for him because if Russell Wilson is the person that he purports himself to be, he should have no problem winning this starting job. And he should have no problem succeeding in a place like Pittsburgh. And that environment, with that head start, as you mentioned, knowing that you're going to have a winning record with this coach, you're likely going to be competing for a playoff spot. But I don't know if this is a situation where they were like, we've got to have Russell Wilson, or they looked at the financials and they're like, this makes the most sense for us. It seems, I don't want to say it seems like settling because that feels disrespectful, but it feels like they would rather have another option. But because of the financials, it's kind of hard to pass up somebody like a Russell Wilson. It makes a lot of sense when you're trying to put the puzzle of your team together and you know that you could still draft a young quarterback and not have had the pressure on him to develop right away because you have somebody like Kenny Pickett or Russell Wilson, depending who wins the job.
Yeah, I like what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing. Like, I don't think they're done adding to that quarterback room, as you suggested. I think they draft a quarterback. I don't know if it'll be the first round, but certainly by day two, they will have another young quarterback in the building because Russell Wilson is here for a good time, not a long time, right? He's a Band-Aid because at this stage in his career, how could you think otherwise, especially coming off of the last 2 years that we saw in Denver? Mm-hmm. But I do acknowledge that Russell Wilson is a significant upgrade from the quarterback play that you've gotten the last 2 years. I mean, the last 2 years, you had the fewest touchdown passes in the NFL. Russell Wilson had more touchdown passes in 2023 than the Pittsburgh Steelers have had in the last two seasons. Think about that for a second. That's where the Pittsburgh Steelers are. The Pittsburgh Steelers had 7 regular season losses last year. 6 of them, their offense scored 13 points or less. That is absolutely anemic. that Russell Wilson gives them the opportunity to take advantage of some of the pieces that they have. Deontay Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, George Pickens. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got the backfield, two-headed monster with Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. Like, you feel good about everything that the Pittsburgh Steelers have on the offensive side of the ball. Now, the one thing that I will say is Mike Tomlin, he doesn't stand for a lot of negative plays from his quarterback, so don't take sacks, don't turn the football over. That's an area that Russell Wilson has to clean up. I mean, the last 2 years in Denver, he's taken 100 sacks, but the Denver Broncos offensive line was eighth in pass block win rate. So, like, Russell Wilson is going to have to figure out that fine line between extending the down and living for the next down. But I think with Mike Tomlin and the structure that that organization provides, I think we'll see the best version of Russell Wilson in Pittsburgh in the twilight of his career.
So a double down on the point you made, because it is stunning to think. People made Russell Wilson to be terrible last year, right? He had 26 touchdowns in, 15 games played. Just to further CC's point, if you take out non-QB touchdown passes, he actually won by 2 over the last 2 years because there was a non-QB. So in 15 games, he beat the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterbacks in 34 games in touchdown passes over the last 2 years.
Wow. Wow.
15 for Russ, 34 for the Steelers quarterbacks, total touchdowns 26-24. Think about that. Mm-hmm. So he is... The only thing he can do is almost screw it up. Just be yourself. Be what you were last year. Try to be like that.
But here's the thing. He's going to be highly motivated, right? Because though the Denver Broncos are picking up the tab for this year, like, there's no guarantees for Russ in the NFL in 2025. So if he wants to keep this thing rolling, then he's going to have to play well in Pittsburgh. And if he doesn't play well, then all of a sudden the rest of the league looks at Russell Wilson as a washed-up quarterback and he's relegated to career backup status.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're Russ, you're trying to avoid that at all costs. Remember, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to get the benefit of the doubt because of how they've operated. This has been one of the most buttoned-up franchises in the NFL over the last half century. So if you can't make this thing work, if this team can't be in the playoffs once again with you as their quarterback instead of Kenny Pickett, then that says a lot about you, and not a lot of that is good. So I think Russell Wilson is going to be motivated, which is why, again, I think we see the best version of Russ that we've seen over the last 3 years. It comes in 2024 in Pittsburgh, as opposed to 2023 and 2022 in Denver.
Yeah, there's a lot at stake for both parties, more so for Russell Wilson than obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers. But post Ben Roethlisberger, they haven't been great at the quarterback position either. So they're still needing to find that guy or at least have some sort of market improvement at the position. And they have pressure on them for this to work out too. But with Russell Wilson, if at the end it didn't work with Pete Carroll, if it didn't work with Sean Payton, and you can't beat out Kenny Pickett, and it doesn't work with Mike Tomlin, where do you go from there?
But that's the thing, though. The pressure for the Steelers to make it work comes in the form of making sure that Mike Tomlin stays there for the foreseeable future. Because there's that contract negotiation that has to happen. And based on what he said post-game after they lost to Buffalo in the playoffs, it felt like that was a sore spot for Mike Tomlin in this organization. We got to figure out what we're doing at quarterback because I'm going into a gunfight with a water pistol in my quarterback situation. Like, think about the young guns in the AFC. You've got Josh Allen. You've got Patrick Mahomes. You've got Lamar Jackson. You've got Joe Burrow. You've got Trevor Lawrence. You've got these hosts of who's who at quarterback. I mean, if you want to run through the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, 8 of them are in the AFC. And that's what Mike Tomlin has to contend with, I'm sorry, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Mitch Trubisky. We've got to figure this out. And so I think Russ gives you a chance to do that in the short term, but I don't think Russell Wilson is the long-term solution, which is why I'm convinced that the Steelers are going to continue to add to that quarterback room this offseason. Now, the other question that's out there is, what does the Russell Wilson signing make the Pittsburgh Steelers this coming year? And I think it makes them viable contenders for the AFC North. And the reason why I say that is, what you can depend on from the Pittsburgh Steelers is really good defense, and what you can depend on from Russell Wilson is that he'll be in the lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Russell Wilson, the last 2 years, has played more games than any other starting quarterback in that division.
And he was benched. He was ready to play 2 more.
Think about that. He's played more than Lamar Jackson. He's played more than Joe Burrow. He's played more than Deshaun Watson. So I know that the Pittsburgh Steelers starting quarterback, Russell Wilson, is going to be in the lineup. And if I'm going to get that guy for 15, 16, 17 games, I like my chances with Mike Tomlin as their head coach. So I think the Steelers are viable contenders for the AFC North crown with Russell Wilson as their starting quarterback.
Love it. You said something. You said 8 of the top 10 quarterbacks are in the AFC. The 2 in the NFC, just for clarification. I was Purdy and Prescott?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that yes, that is an impossible conference, obviously, as we know. And, oh, by the way, the Chiefs are in it. But I agree with you. I mean, Russell Wilson is entering a team that starts the season 9-8. It's what you do off of that, right? Nobody has ever done enough to take it below that, right, in terms of losing record under Mike Tomlin.
Mm-hmm.
Roethlisberger's worst years, Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, Duck Hodges, literally no one has done enough to basically be worse than Mike Tomlin's greatness. And now, boy, now I just set something up.
Yeah, you did. You really did.
If Russell Wilson becomes the first quarterback that Mike Tomlin has that has a losing record, oh, God. Then he really will be sitting with us next year, which I'd be cool with. But the reality is, like, everyone was wrong. Like, you all were wrong, right? Everybody was writing this guy off saying he would have no opportunities. He got an opportunity literally before anyone else. No quarterback has changed teams because they can, obviously. But Justin Fields is not traded. We haven't heard any kind of commitment with Kirk Cousins yet. I know Kirk Cousins is going to get more and is better. Baker resigns. Like, the fact that he has a team and had multiple options potentially is a huge win.
Because he's cheap.
So what? Smalls.
You act like it's because the market was clamoring for Russell Wilson. It's because he's cheap.
But we all knew he was going to be cheap. At every given point when everyone said he's going to be out of the league this year or backing up Aaron Rodgers, we all knew the price was going to be 1.2. It's not like we didn't know that. We knew Denver was paying the salary. So think about that. People were saying this guy is such a problem that nobody would take him on for league minimum. And yet the Raiders, the Giants, and the Steelers all reportedly were interested, and he's playing for Mike Tomlin this year. Listen, I can acknowledge, we all can acknowledge when we're wrong about things. I've been wrong about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Everyone else was wrong about this thing. Sorry. Russell Wilson was the one who gets it done, just like Granger, CC. For the ones who get it done, Granger, of course.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRICEbikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Legal tampering. What a ridiculous term, by the way. Wow. Starts at noon Eastern time. Legal tampering. It's like, hey, you're in a relationship. It's the legal cheating season. You're allowed to cheat on your significant other.
Guess what? They've been cheating all along.
I know, exactly.
And they've been doing it for a while.
Exactly.
I mean, this has been going on all offseason already. I mean, yeah. At the combine, mm-hmm. that is tampering central.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's almost to the point now where it's ridiculous for them to have a legal tampering period. I guess they just try to cover up the fact that these teams are having these back channel conversations with these players, with these agents. And that's why they put something like this in there, because nobody could understand how these huge deals that are incredibly complex because of the size of the contracts and the money involved, get done as soon as free agency opens. Yeah. Like within the minute of free agency opening, these contracts are being signed.
Yeah, as soon as that alarm goes off.
Nobody was buying that. So we're going to put the legal tampering moniker on it. But the reality is these conversations have been having weeks ago in terms of what the free agency is going to look like for all of these different players.
How does that actually work? Can you take us through that a little bit? Like,
it's very exciting as a player.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because you know you're going to get a lot of cash.
Very exciting.
Very exciting.
Very exciting,
very exciting.
At your level. At your level. Some people are like, oh my God, I'm out. But so what happens? You hit free agency. Like, do you remember the first time you hit free agency and how that process worked? Must have been when you were leaving
the
Cowboys,
the most
right?
exciting part was when I knew I was going to hit free agency and be healthy. Like, that was the most exciting part. Like, I played for the Dallas Cowboys in 2008. We knew we weren't going to go to the playoffs, and we got blown out in the link by the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to say we lost that game 44-6. By the time we got into the third quarter, I was looking at my backup and said, hey, bro, go ahead and get a Gatorade and get ready to go in the game because I'm not going back in. And we had no chance to win. So I'm like, hey, Stephen Bowen, go in the game. You're going to stay in the game because I'm about to get the free agency.
Oh, you put him in.
I'm about to get to that bag. Absolutely.
You subbed yourself out?
Absolutely. I tapped out because I
You're
wanted
acknowledging
to,
that
I
right
tapped
now?
Out because I wanted to cash in. Go check the tape. I took myself out the game. We were down 44-6. We weren't going to win the game. What's the point in me getting hurt?
Yeah.
Like, we weren't going to win the game, so I had to make sure I was going to get a win that offseason.
Priorities.
And who was your coach at that point?
Wade Phillips was the coach.
And did you tell
or
him?
Or Jason Garrett, one of the two. Yeah, I'm not sure who it
them.
Was. Both. Yes.
Yes, they were there.
So you told him, you're like, I'm good.
Oh, I didn't tell the coach. Regular season finale. I'm probably not going to be on the team anyway. So, yeah, I tapped out.
All right, so you tapped out in that spot. Then
I don't
what?
Think anybody would hold that against me, though.
That's I think it's very smart.
That's a business decision.
Excuse me, I have to secure the bag. Yeah, I am not going in there.
This is a business decision.
Right.
You've seen the Giants contract. Yeah, it's a business decision.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about your contract. I'm just talking about the process.
I'm just saying, you've seen it, though. That's a business decision.
So at that point, when you're checking yourself out of the fourth quarter of a regular season game, because
it was actually the third quarter.
I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
I think it was actually the third quarter.
All right, so at that point, you're checking yourself out, and you're saying to Stephen Bowen, I don't care if you get hurt. I'm just not getting hurt. Did you know at that point?
He's still on a rookie contract. Okay. He got time.
It's good for him. Yeah, exactly.
It's an opportunity for him to get some rest.
I'm trying to preserve my offseason and making sure that my free agency goes the way I envisioned it.
So at that point.
A fourth round draft pick.
Did you know any of the offers already? Did your agent tell you, like, you're probably in this range? I think these are the teams that are going to come
back. No, my agent didn't do it. I got people in the NFL.
Okay.
And there was somebody that was in an NFL front office who had played college football with a family member of mine, and they had let me know that if I get to the free agency, this is what I can expect because this is what they were prepared to pay.
Nice.
So I had an idea of what the money would look like because I knew what this one team was.
But you didn't know the team, though, necessarily.
No, I knew the team.
Oh, you already knew?
I knew the team.
So you were on the Cowboys and knew the Giants were going to offer you that contract.
It wasn't the Giants. It was another team.
Oh, interesting.
It wasn't the Giants. It was another team.
By the way,
team.
Can I add some...
Plot twist.
I'm going to defend you in this case. I'm going to add some context, and I'm not trying to make you upset about this, but context is important. When you entered the NFL draft, you entered it off of injury. If you would have entered it the year before, you would have been a first rounder. You became a fourth rounder because of injury. Mm-hmm. Having that happen again probably went through your mind of like, this is my new draft.
Oh, yeah, it's not going to happen again.
It's not going to happen again.
Listen, I went through this once. You don't have a lot of times where you have leverage as a player, and when you get the hammer, you better swing it.
Mm.
And that's exactly what I planned on doing.
So you knew at this point this Team X was going to offer you a contract like this.
Yeah.
How did you find out the Giants were going to swoop in and then offer you a better deal?
I didn't find out until the day free agency started.
So like today, in essence?
No. Well, this is the legal tampering period. Remember, when I was a free agent in 2009, this didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't find that out until free agency started. The moving parts came around. Team X that I thought was going to offer me a huge bag went out and gave an even bigger bag to another free agent, which took away my opportunity. So I decided to pivot. The Giants decided to pivot because they were in on that guy too that Team X signed, and they ended up giving me some money. So that's
how it
worked out.
So you just sit by your phone and wait?
Yeah, it's exactly what you do.
Oh, my gosh.
Nerve-wracking?
Well, it happens quick. So I woke up that morning thinking I was going to get on a private jet going to one place, end up getting on a commercial flight to come to New York.
You like how he puts that in. Private commercial. Jet to one place. Commercial. He still is bothered by that, clearly.
I am bothered by that.
What a Super
Bowl. I had the tail number of the plane, for God's sakes. I had the tail number of the plane.
Commercial and the hotel situation?
No, I mean, yeah, it's just like, man, the Giants do free agency differently than everybody else does. I mean, I had the tail number of the plane. I was like, man, I'm ready to go. I was excited about getting that money.
So,
and then I end up going somewhere else.
So what goes through your mind when the place that you think all along you're going to and you're going to get a huge check from goes another direction? Do you start to panic?
I was sick. I was already shopping for houses and everything. I had it all planned out, Smalls. I knew exactly how it was going to go.
Yeah.
I was like, man, I'm going to get to hang out with all my friends and all this stuff. Yeah. I love this city, too. I was like, yes, this is going to be great.
Right.
And it was like, oh. But then I had the opportunity to come home. So mm-hmm. coming back home, getting a bag, a team that had won a Super Bowl a few years prior, and then having a chance to be a part of that, knowing that they had a quarterback that could win a Super Bowl, it ended up being the best thing for my career.
And in this spot, this is where I assume it's so different than real life. Like, you're offered a job in real life. You want to talk to some people in and around that
job. You don't
job.
Have time for that.
It's You have to.
You don't have time for
you
that.
You don't even you get to decisions. Ask any questions.
You got
to
make decisions so quickly in so, free agency. Like, so they it goes say, so fast.
They say, all right, Chris, we're offering you a deal, 5 years, $10 million. I'm making this up. $10 million, right? How long do you have to make that decision?
You don't have very long.
So they call you at noon.
Because you got to remember, they're going to move on to the next guy. Because free agency, especially the big money, goes within the first 48 to 72 hours. So you've got to make a decision so they can make a decision. Think about it in terms of the NFL draft. These teams are on the clock. They've got to make a pick at the draft choice.
Right.
Other teams behind them have to make subsequent decisions based on who's on and who's off the draft board, who's already been taken. So they've got to move quickly. So time actually is working against both the team and against the individual player.
So they call you
so
with that offer.
Everybody's up against the clock.
And then do you get to call, like, do you have enough time to call your agent, your family, or like how? Anything?
Well, usually your agent is the one that's coordinating the whole deal.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you don't really have a whole lot of time to talk to your family or whatever. You get presented a lot of different scenarios based on who your agent talks to. But you never know what happens once free agency kicks off. And there's always Smalls. There is always a dark horse team.
Always.
Just like players talk about teams that don't talk to them at all in the pre-draft process and end up calling their name on draft day,
yeah.
That's how free agency can go too. There are dark horse teams. The New York Giants were a dark horse team. I had no communication with the New York Giants. No insight, no inkling that they wanted me.
Wow.
Think about it. They had Justin Tuck and OC Umenyora and all of these guys. Freddie Robbins. They had all Barry Kofi. They had all of these guys. Like, why did the New York Giants need me? They had Matthias Kiwanuka. Why did the New York Giants need me?
Yeah.
And they gave me a huge bag of money. So, I mean, like, that just goes to show you, like, it's unpredictable. And as a player, you have to adjust to it quickly in order to secure the bag. And you don't have a lot of opportunity to vet this thing out.
That's fast. I mean, you weren't married at the time, so there's no significant other you're calling.
But here's what I also say. This is where reputation goes a long ways and also having relationships goes a long ways, too. When you know players in different places, you can always pick up the phone and call a guy and say, hey, really quickly, what do you think about this situation? They're trying to get me to come to your team.
Right.
And you can get that level of insight. That's about as much as you can fact check. All you got.
That sounds about like five minutes.
That's what you got. It's a relationship business just like everything else,
sure.
Right? And
right.
So when you're making these decisions in real time, as quickly as they have to happen, you got to rely on the people that you know in and around the NFL, whether it's reputation or whether you know a guy that's with this club. What do you think about this team, how they operate, what this situation is? And then you go and you make the best decision for your family.
Hey, Canty, real quick, did the team that decided to go the other route regret that deal?
Yes, they did.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
I know exactly
did.
Who you're talking about.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Why do you want to add more mystery to something he doesn't want to actually reveal?
It worked out for me, Nuno. I'll just leave it at that. It really worked out for
me. So basically what you're saying today, if we're going to follow, if they're going to say like teams are actually following the rules, at noon Eastern time today, there will be a player that his agent will get a phone call that he doesn't expect to come in with a number that he needs to decide on within 5 minutes with no previous prep on that team.
Yes.
Wow.
And if they say no to that, that goes to someone else.
I'm not
going to
say it's 5 minutes, but you probably got an hour.
Thinking about a city that you didn't think about, a position coach that you never thought about, a coordinator you never thought about, and a head coach you never thought about.
A life-changing decision.
Yeah, in winning and losing in that division. Like I think about the AFC West. You get a call from a team in the AFC West, and you're thinking you're going to go somewhere else, and you're thinking you're going to win. you ain't going to win in that division. So it's whether or not you want to live your life
now,
there.
Here's the thing. It's a sliding scale. The better you are, the more time you have. So if you think about it in those terms.
So Kirk Cousins has time.
Kirk Cousins
has time. Mm-hmm. I didn't have time because I wasn't the top defensive lineman.
Right.
There was another guy that was a huge, huge player at the position. Like, I'm talking about all pro player. And so he was the guy that the free agency universe revolved around at that position group. So, again, if you're a good player, a really good player, you've got more time.
Mike Tannenbaum will talk about it from the other side of this coming up next. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hot Ticket brought to you by Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. Get great deals on the hottest tickets. Experience it live. A lot of teams are going to be pitching everybody for tickets this week by way of Vivid Seats with their new players like Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson. Mike Tannenbaum is here, former GM Dolphins and Jets, ESPN front office insider. All right, we heard CC's side of it, of what the 24, 48 hours up to today actually are like, and the last game of the season, which he checked himself out of when he was heading into free agency. For you as a general manager, what are these 24 to 48 hours like?
Yeah, I mean, it's everything. It's cool, it's fun, it's frenetic, it's nerve-wracking. Always say, like, our plan is firmly etched in pencil, and, you know, Chris kind of gave like a little bit of the light of that from one side. The other side of it, like, let's just jump right to Atlanta. If I'm Atlanta, I'm stretching on Kirk Cousins, and here's why. I'm getting Kirk Cousins and Dallas Turner with the eighth pick. So now all of a sudden, like, if I have to pay a little bit more for Kirk Cousins than I want with the eighth pick in the draft, I could go get Dallas Turner, the best pass rusher. Whereas if Kirk Cousins stays with the Minnesota Vikings, now I have to use that eighth pick to go get a quarterback. So now constantly, Evan, to answer your question, those are the scenarios. Like, if we do this, here's what we can't do, and how do we maximize our resources?
So, Mike T, in looking at free agency and knowing how the big money comes off the board in the first 48 to 72 hours, how much time do you give these prospective free agents to make a firm decision on whether they're going to sign with your organization and move on?
Yeah, as the great philosopher Bill Parcells would say, Chris, if you're looking, we're looking. If you're looking, we're looking. So we want you here. We love you. We think it's a great fit. But if you have options, we got options. And it's, you know, you want to be fair. You want to be thorough. But you got to create a sense of urgency. So if you're Minnesota, and, you know, that's probably not a great example because their alternative is probably in the draft. But if you're another team that needs, you know, a running back and you want Saquon Barkley and he comes in to the Houston Texans today and says, hey, I'm going to go meet with the Cowboys, go ahead because we're bringing Josh Jacobs. So we're going to meet with Josh for dinner. So you're looking, we're looking. And it's just the reality of the business, and that's why you have to be over-communicative with the player, with the agent. You want to be fair, but like the first 72 hours, we're flying.
So just to be clear, you're giving these players hours, not days, to make a decision.
It's not even that long. I mean, that's what with the legal tampering, like, you're going to see agreements at 12:05, and it's going to be, you know, pending physicals. And, you know, that's just the system we have, and there's pros and cons to it. You would hate, like, when the occasional physical would ruin a deal. But, yeah, these things will be flying off the board.
So it's almost like the NFL draft then.
Oh, absolutely.
In terms of people being on the clock.
And hypothetically,
it feels like that both the team and the player are on the clock, though.
Yeah, and hypothetically, Chris, you know, maybe some people had conversations at the combine.
Hypothetically. Well, let's go back to the hypothetical Kirk Cousins scenario. If you're Atlanta and Minnesota, you're waiting on a decision from him. He's the biggest domino to fall. But You don't. If you said if you're looking, we're looking. But where else are you looking? If it's not Kirk Cousins, so it seems like maybe he would have more time than somebody else would.
Yeah, but again, if I'm Minnesota, like, and I think Baker Mayfield, Chris Jones are instructive to this. Like, if we're running the Vikings, if the four of us are running the Vikings, he's not done by noon. We got to think he's gone. Like, we've had all this time, and we've either said no to his last best offer or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So now, are we in an unusual situation? Could we see an intra-division trade of a starting quarterback in Justin Fields going from the Bears to the Vikings? Because if I'm Minnesota, I'm sitting there at 11. How high do I have to get up to get J.J. McCarthy? Is it 4 with Arizona? Is it 5 with the Chargers? Like, that's a little bit out of my control. So who's my starting quarterback if Kirk Cousins is a Falcon at 12:05 today?
How much of a premium would the Minnesota Vikings have to pay in order to pull off an intra-division trade if that ends up happening?
Yeah, well, if I'm Ryan Poles, the GM of the Bears, who's made one good trade after another, I can't be too aggressive because there's just hasn't been a market. We saw Ryan Poles make this great trade a year ago at the Combine, about three weeks ago. Now all of a sudden, like, you don't want to be quote unquote stuck with Justin Fields. You want to give Fields, you know, a chance to get established someplace else. So I think if you're going to trade him within the division, you want to, you know, I would really struggle with doing that because if he plays great in Minnesota, like, you're not going to live that down. But if I'm them, I'm pulling the trigger sooner than later.
I mean, if you don't think he's good, trading him in the division is the best place to trade him, though, no?
Well, you know, Bill Belichick did that, you know, a generation ago when he traded Bledsoe from the Patriots to the Bills. And, you know,
he wanted to play him. He actually wanted to play him twice a year.
Yeah, but Justin Fields, to me, the only grade you could give him right now, Evan, out of fairness, is a grade of incomplete.
Right.
You know, he didn't have a lot to work with. Look, his play has been inconsistent, but so are a lot of young quarterbacks. But if he does play well in Minnesota and he goes into, you know, Soldier Field every year, like, it is hard to live that down.
So let's talk with Mike Tannenbaum, ESPN NFL front office insider. We're giddy. We're excited. Noon Eastern time today is the legal tampering period. We love this stuff. It's why we do this, honestly, for this stuff. Russell Wilson, surprised at all? You thought there was a chance he was out altogether?
Yeah, really surprised. A couple of things come to mind. Number one, that's why I have a Hall of Fame coach. That's why Mike Tomlin's in the Hall of Fame. He recruited somebody to essentially play for free. Just so we're clear, Russell Wilson is not making 5 cents more by being a Steeler than if he sat out. So we got to give Russell Wilson all the credit in the world. He is betting on himself to resurrect his career. And just talking to people around the situation, this is going to look a lot like Seattle. There's going to be heavy play action, and that should play to Russell Wilson's strength. And then, you know, the other thing to me that, you know, comes out of this is, where does Justin Fields go? Like, where does he go? This is another place he's not going now.
Mike T, Jerry Jones said earlier this offseason that the Dallas Cowboys are going to be all in. What does that look like for them in free agency? What's the move that they should make over the next 72 hours? What's the move that they should resist over the next 72 hours?
They have to sign Bobby Wagner for multiple reasons. On the field, Bobby Wagner is closer to the end than the beginning, but he's still a really good linebacker. You know, we talk about their culture, lack of leadership. Like, he checks multiple boxes. Presumably, Leighton Vander Esch is going to retire. We know that Damone Clark, Marquez Bell, they were a little bit too small. And I would resist re-signing Tyron Smith because one of the mistakes I've made, and you want to be careful from a team standpoint, is you don't want to pay a player for what they were. You have to pay them for what they're going to be. And Tyron Smith's best days are behind him.
What other teams are you really paying attention to today, Mike?
Well, I think the Patriots, Michelle, like, you know, like, it's fascinating to me. Like, it's, you know, Gerard Mayo era. I mean, that's hard to even say that. Look, I think they're taking a quarterback now at 3. You know, not that Mac Jones may have been the answer long term, but clearly they have a massive void there. And, you know, where do they go? They kept Kendrick Bourne. They kept Hunter Henry, which I think are good moves. But I'm fascinated to see how the Gerard Mayo-led Patriots look, which is, again, hard to say and fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
Baker Mayfield, 3 years, $100 million. Good or bad move?
Yeah, I think that is going to net out roughly 2 years for $50 million. And I think that's, you know, a great example. Like, if I'm Russell Wilson, like, hey, I'm going to be Baker Mayfield this year. He played really good last year, guys. Mm-hmm. And I think it's instructive to us that one of the main things I love about the NFL is the narratives that unfold, right? Dave Canales becomes a head coach. Baker Mayfield gets rewarded. That's the way our league should be. Like, they played well. He coached well. They've earned it.
Kansas City Chiefs got a huge deal done with Chris Jones, their superstar. His new 5-year deal exceeds Aaron Donald's deal on an average annual value.
Does that mean you're coming back?
No, this dog don't hunt no more. But I do want to ask you about Legarius Sneed, the other star. They put the franchise tag as a placeholder on him. Presumably, Kansas City would like to figure out what they're doing with him sooner rather than later to allow them to do business elsewhere on their roster. Where do you see L'Jarius Sneed going in this free agency cycle?
If I was them, Chris, I would keep him, and then I would draft a left tackle, let Donovan Smith graduate, and say, hey, we won as much on defense. Like, it sounds like Willie Gay's out. They kept Tranquil. So to me, if I'm them, I'm going to keep L'Jarius Sneed. Like, if I could get a two for him, look, the draft's loaded in corners, Chris, but why not keep him? They were great on the back end, and I would keep him and McDuffie and say—
So you would try to get a long-term deal done?
Absolutely. I pay him and Chris Jones. They let Tyreek Hill go. They let Marquez Valdes-Scantling go and let Donovan Smith go. Like, it's weird. You're almost going to go young on offense with a Hall of Fame quarterback and keep those cornerstone defensive players.
I like the move, but they gave him permission to seek a trade. So I'm just curious how the mechanics of that work, especially knowing that we're going into free agency.
Yeah, I get, you know, you're saying to Team X, like, hey, if you could reach an agreement, we'll take less than two first-round picks. Sounds like they would, you know, consider a second-round pick. So that's how it would work mechanically. But if I'm another team, given the depth at the corner position, you know, there were so many good ones that worked out at the combine. If I could get a Kool-Aid McKistry, 25 to 40, somewhere in there, I really get a rookie corner on, you know, a deal that doesn't have to pay $20, $21 million a year for another 4 years.
Mike, you mentioned the Patriots and them parting ways with Mac Jones. What did you make of Jacksonville's decision to bring him in?
Yeah, they were really happy to get him. You know, Trevor Lawrence, to me, like, has been a B with A++++ potential. Mm-hmm. He's been hurt. And, you know, to go get a guy that's led your team to the playoffs for $2.5 million, that's really good value from Jacksonville. And if I'm Mac Jones, it's a homecoming. I'm getting coached by an offensive coach, and he has to flush what happened in New England and start fresh. So I was surprised, though, for a six-round pick. Like, that's great value, in my opinion, for Jacksonville.
It's amazing that literally quarterbacks around the league, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, you mentioned with Russell Wilson, all of their hope now is to become Baker Mayfield. It's amazing. Go somewhere for a little to make a lot long term. Baker Mayfield is now the model for long term success. It's amazing.
How about the 2021 draft for quarterbacks?
Brutal.
I mean,
brutal.
Trevor Lawrence has underachieved. Zach Wilson, fill in the blank, right?
Trey Lance
may be the worst trade in the history of our sport. Justin Fields is on the precipice of being traded, and Mac Jones went for a sixth.
Wow.
Mike Tannenbaum, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Coming up, I'm over it. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. I'm over it. With Pat, the producer.
The nervous system? Organs? I don't understand. They're not real. It's a mess. Why is it that when you apply to a job, you submit your resume, and then they make you fill out all this other stuff that's on your resume? Breakfast food is insanely mid.
Is mid?
Mid. Mid.
Mid.
Mid. Ugh.
Ugh. I'm over it. I'm sick and tired and over it.
Get a life.
Yes, each and every day at this time, our producer, Pat Costello, gives us items in and around sports, news, entertainment, the world, that he's over. Pat is here today, but he's working on the TV side, ESPN2, and does not have a microphone.
Oh, no mic.
which means I am doing, I'm over it, with my topics and not his.
Uh-oh.
What? Oh, boy. What's the problem?
Well, Pat's still on the show, so yeah, he's going to be grading you on your performance.
He always does, and it's never been good per him. So it's really, it's encouraging now. So here we go. I'm over it. I'm over non-7 p.m. Eastern start times for any big events. Last night, the Oscars started at 7 p.m.
Amazing.
Perfect.
Amazing.
I finish up dinner. I'm sitting there. I'm watching Kimmel's monologue. I'm going back and forth between the NBA and that. Oh, I'm thrilled.
He smoked Robert Downey Jr., didn't he? The monologue was great.
I think they're really good friends. I know.
I know, but that was great.
It was great. The whole thing was great.
Ryan Gosling Jr. is Ken.
But you wouldn't have seen any of this if it started when it normally would start, these big events.
I wouldn't have watched it.
That's the point.
If it started or not, I wouldn't have watched it.
Guess what? We're a few weeks away from the NCAA tournament being in the Final Four in the national championship game. Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, will be the national championship.
That's the start time?
Yes. Ugh. It's always the start time.
9
Why?
p.m.
Why? 7 p.m. Eastern, perfect start time. Ugh. Perfect start time. I'm over anything after that.
Those Sunday night games, 8:20 kick.
Oh, an hour earlier.
So brutal.
An hour earlier.
Guys, you do realize there's like 2/3 of the country that's in a different time zone.
I understand that.
Right, but are they complaining at 4? So in L.A., ESPN L.A. listening right now, at 4 p.m. yesterday, their time. Sit in your backyard if you're having a house and you put a little screen out there.
Well, you're not complaining during the weekend, but what about during the weekdays?
6 p.m. start for the national championship game. That's perfect for them.
I love it.
Sorry. That actually defeated my whole point.
Yes.
Because I didn't say that. I never said that.
Yeah,
I never said that.
So I got Pat's grade for this one.
Yeah.
He's like, he kind of likes it, and he actually agrees with you.
Oh, okay.
But it has to be like 7, right? Last night, like, they do it's 7, but it's actually tip-off at 7:10.
Versus what?
Well, the championship game, it's like 9, but by the time they get all the pop and search,
9:18.
Yeah, exactly. So, but he agrees with this, likes this first one.
Okay.
People in L.A. are sitting in traffic on the 405 when that game kicks off. At 4 o'clock Pacific time.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Like, you're just excluding half the country.
Listen to the game on the radio. I don't know what to tell you.
Wow.
Savages, the both of you.
All right. Next one. I agree with you, though. Next one.
Come on.
All right. There's a place in New York City that I walk by on my way in that promotes their $18 lunch special. That is too high to call it a special. 15 or less.
No.
In
New York City?
$18
lunch is not special.
Coffee costs 10 bucks.
Correct. I cannot get a salad for under 20 bucks.
So you think that $18 is low enough to be called a special?
It depends on what it is.
It's a Chinese food restaurant that looks pretty good. That's like, you know, your typical... Whatever the meal is,
like
the rice.
Sweet and sour chicken.
Yeah,
fried rice and egg rolls.
Get some egg rolls in there?
Do you get a drink?
$18?
I have to look at it a little bit closer to know the exact.
Listen, we're going after the show.
If you get the drink, that puts it over the top.
All right.
I got Pat's grade. He said, this is stupid. He said, McDonald's, you're at like $14 at this point. There was a Five Guys thing last week where it was like $25 for a Five Guys meal. So, no.
But is that, do they call it a special? When you put the word special on it, that's what I had to
issue
with.
No, I think Pat's thing is like, hey, you're already paying this stuff. Like, you're paying $14 for a McDonald's meal. So throw the special, and if you get enough food, that's fine.
Right. Yeah, if it's not a fast food place and you have a lunch special that's under $20, that's pretty damn good.
So under 20, you could put the word special if it's multiple things.
Yes, agreed.
So it's got to be the sweet and sour chicken. You got to get a little rice, a super, an egg roll, and a water
in New
or
York.
Soda.
In New York.
No doubt.
Okay, I don't think that would play certain places across the country.
All right, so
in New York.
Go back to our three college states. Go to Virginia, go to Illinois, and go to Wisconsin. $18 special.
Oh, you out of your mind.
Yeah, in college?
Okay.
You out of your mind.
No, I don't mean when we're in college. I just mean the states that the three of us went to college in.
No, but in a college town, that's not going to fly.
Right.
Oh, there was a buffet in Charlottesville, Virginia. I mean, it's the Wood Grill, $8.98 without the drink.
Ooh.
That was what the buffet cost. All you can eat.
It was outstanding. Call that special.
I bet you did some damage.
I knew exactly how much. $8.98 is what the buffet cost without a drink. And it was all. And because I played football, you know, they always gave us the drink, even when we didn't pay for it. I'm just saying. The Wood Grill, Charlottesville. Shout out to y'all. Appreciate y'all.
UVA.
Got me through school.
UVA. NCAA is coming after you now for the free drink. Drink at the buffet.
The NCAA's coming after the Wood Grill.
Next one. Why are there highways and streets in general without lights on them?
Oh, that's a good one.
Why?
It's so annoying.
Especially when you have these cheap lights now that are like the solar powered kind of lights, or that you could literally just put in and when they're dark, they light up. Like, we don't need the formal, big, expensive street lights. But there are so many streets that I'm driving, and we're all going in early in the morning right now. Anybody who's listening right now, we appreciate. And us. Like, why? Why can't we have lights?
No, I agree with that. One time I had to drive from Charlotte, North Carolina to Tallahassee, Florida overnight, and I could not believe how many roads did not have lights on them. It was terrifying.
There are little, like these little round lights you could just plug in. Not plug in like a plug. Like you just put in the ground and they light up. Like, we can't just buy a million of those. Like, whoever's in charge of that just can't buy a gazillion of those and just plug them in on the side of highways. Why is that so difficult? Drives me crazy. Nothing on that, CeCe?
None.
Oh, you're out on. Okay. All right. Next one. I'm over it. Do we have a grade from Pat on that?
He said that's why cars have lights.
Oh.
Oh, come on.
But I do agree with you. But yes. But Pat says that's why cars have lights.
Okay. Yeah. Because every street is lit up because a car is driving with lights on. Give me a break. But if there's a car in front of you, you can't put your brights on then because you're going to throw them off. That's a terrible take by Pat. Terrible. Next one. I hate the verification on Twitter now because, like, somebody responds to your tweet, they're verified. You're like, oh, who's this? It's like Bob Smith. Like, I don't know who that, like, why? Why do we have to do this? There used to be a way of like, oh, okay, that's a reporter. That's somebody with information.
So you would put more credence behind somebody that had the blue check mark.
Yeah, well, in terms of information, sure.
In terms of information. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
You know, if a darn Schefter is going to tweet today with a blue check mark about an NFL move, I'm going to get excited. And then I'm like, well, that's not Adam. That's a darn or whatever it is right. That it's been there.
So you got to do more work to make sure that.
Yeah, I just want the information. Today is the day. Trust me, every single show on our network will have a producer say to them after noon Eastern time. So when Carlin versus Joe starts, Evan Wilner, producer of that show, will probably have to say to them, hey, make sure it's the right person tweeting it out. You've probably done it. I've done it.
100%.
Where it's like you're presenting the wrong information. Today's the day that drives you nuts about that because today is an awesome day of information that Adam Schefter will put out there.
And not only that, people can buy the check mark and they can buy followers. So you really have to be that much more careful when you're reporting something that it is the right person that's giving you the info. Because you could click on the profile and say, oh, they have the blue check. Oh, a million followers, 10 million followers or whatever. They could have bought those.
Yeah, like, oh, Kirk Cousins to the Chiefs? That's weird. I didn't see that one coming. Well, that's not Adam.
Yeah.
What's the grade on that one?
November 2022 that this happened. So you should be used to this by now, Pat's saying. So, like, stop complaining.
But today's a day that is important with that, you know, because of free agents. You know
yeah,
what?
Yeah, yeah. We have to make sure everything is verified through our news desk before you report anything on air.
I'm over Pat.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.